Welcome to episode 33 of IDRA Class Notes.
Right before the meeting started, parents were kind of sluggish coming in, so one said, "Sir, are we going to cancel it?" I said, "No." I said, "If we only have three people in the room, we're going to make the presentation." And I said, "And one of those is the principal," and he blanched, you know, he turned white. But then one of them said, "Sir, it's getting late. I need a ride home," and all that. Once the report started, they forgot about all that. Okay. They beamed. They were just smiling. They were just ear-to-ear smiles. They were walking on clouds.
Welcome to the Class Notes podcast by the Intercultural Development Research Association. I'm Christy Goodman. Thanks so much for listening. In this podcast series, we explore issues facing education today and strategies for teachers and administrators to better serve all students. We would love to hear your thoughts, questions, and suggestions. There'll be details at the end of this podcast on how you can contact us. We've also set up an email alert to let you know when a new episode of Class Notes is available. If you're not subscribing to this podcast, our email alerts can help you stay up to date because you get a notice each time, and it's automated, so you won't get any other kind of notices through that, just about the podcast. All you have to do is go to our website and sign up. I also want to let you know about a monthly electronic newsletter called The Graduation for All. Get informed, get connected, get results. It's free as well and shares news and resources focusing on graduating all students across the country. Again, just go to our website to sign up. That's at www.idra.org. Today we're going to tell you about something that happened recently at a high school we're working with, where teens shared survey results about their math education. And this topic is student and parent math conversations. Aurelio Montemayor, Master's ED, is the person at IDRA who's been most involved with this activity. Aurelio is IDRA's lead trainer and director of our Parent Information and Resource Center for Texas. He brings extensive experience in working with school personnel, parents, and students. His career in education spans four decades and has included teaching at the high school, middle school, and elementary school levels. He has a bachelor's degree in English and philosophy and a master's degree in bilingual education. He's passionate about the power of parent and community engagement for leadership development and effective education. He's our key developer of a model for parent engagement and in helping schools, parents, and community groups rethink how they work together to improve education. So, hello.
Hi.
I'm glad that you're here. Give us a little background. We've talked a little in a previous podcast about some things happening at the school, but those who didn't hear that one.
Well, picture this. First of all, a large high school, 3,000 students in far west Texas, about 90% Latino, and also close to that amount in terms of economically disadvantaged. So it is clearly a Title I campus. A significant number of the population is Spanish-speaking. Mm-hmm. And a couple of years ago started having problems with their adequate yearly progress. In other words, the students were not doing well in math. Mm-hmm. And for 2 years in a row, their scores did not improve at a rate that the federal government had set for all states. Mm-hmm. And Texas, of course, had its own standards.
Right. And of course, that's a very big deal in terms of sanctions for the school, and
yes,
and there's all sorts of things that kick into place, but it's even bigger concern about the student's education itself.
Absolutely. And also, this school is not unique. The high schools in Texas that are in trouble tend to be for math.
Probably that's true nationwide, I bet.
Yes, yes. And if you look at Latino scores and achievement in math and access to college and all that, it just reinforces that it's an area that needs a lot of attention and change, something happening differently so that we get different results. Well, at this high school, and we've talked about it previously, the parents were so concerned that out of their meetings, a questionnaire came out, a survey. This happened about a year ago. And so we culminated a set of activities with students actually brought in to be the bridge to the information. Mm-hmm. In other words, parents were interviewing each other, students were interviewing students, and out of this survey, we set that last month there was going to be a meeting, and at that meeting we were going to have parents and school people there, and the students were going to report on what they had found. Mm-hmm. The idea was to convert the survey and the project into a math project. Mm-hmm. If math is the problem, we were going to illustrate that students were going to use math to highlight what they had found. Mm-hmm. So it was called the Math Survey Project.
How were the students, were they selected or did they
Well, it was kind of random. Some were there because they owed community service hours. I mean, okay. One was there because he's really good with technology. But, I mean, I was actually there working with students for a day and a half, and half of them told me that they were flunking math.
Okay.
One young lady, in fact, who became one of the most focused one in the group herself, I think was driven because she liked the questions so much and she wanted to hear what people gave as answers because she's so concerned about. And she told me, I've never been doing good in math. I did poorly in middle school and now I'm in worse shape. Mm-hmm. But she wanted to be part of the team. Mm-hmm. So the month before, when the goal was set to have students do the report, a few students came together. And given this is a very busy high school, they're in testing season, everything else going on, even though there was goodwill, the students weren't able to get together. Mm-hmm. So I actually flew in the day before, and the afternoon before the meeting of the day before, mm-hmm. the students came together and they said, sir, where were you? So let's work with what we've got. So they started just hand counting the results. They had close to 100 surveys.
Wow.
About half were student, half were parent surveys.
Okay.
So they started, and I was playing devil's advocate. I was not giving him any answers. And so I was saying, well, what are we going to do with this? Well, you know, the ones that knew how to use Excels and databases and stuff like that said, well, we can do this. And well, how do you do this? And so then everybody was doing something. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So then that afternoon ended with some stuff done. And then the next day, most of them of the team were brought in, unless they were taking tests that day, and they were excused, and we worked all day, and it was really bumpy going because we were trying to put together the information, the presentation, and they were going to make the presentation to that meeting in the evening.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it was nonstop all day. We were in the parent center, had several computers, and the kids were working, and the ones that were really adept, like one was the lead in terms of PowerPoint. He knew how to do that. And, of course, it had to be done bilingually, so everything was being put in there was translated into Spanish. And they defined it clearly. The math survey project is an opportunity for a team of high school students to collect data and present the results to the community. And one young man who was very nervous, who's repeating his sophomore year in math and stuff like that, he was able to take the open-ended questions and tabulate and cluster them and come out with a summary and interpretation of the open-ended questions.
Yeah.
What helps students learn, what blocks them from learning.
Mm-hmm.
And as we guided him through it, he made sense of the data.
Wow.
Now, this is a student.
That's a big skill.
Yeah, exactly. And what was really interesting, I kept going back to them, well, what does this mean?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so at a quarter to six, they were still putting their report together. The meeting was scheduled to start at six. So about six, we had about 15 parents in the room, and then the dean of the math department came in and sat in there, the principal and one of the vice principals, and then a couple of other parents walked in. So we had about 30 people in the room, and then about 6:20, the students stood up and started making the report. We had a team of four students there.
Okay.
And it was really amazing because some of them had, you know, a lot of skill. They were just charming and, you know, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So they were kind of...
They had the charisma.
Yes, the charisma. But
everybody
had something to do. So the one I won't forget is the one who was most nervous. And his task had been to explain why each question was important.
Oh, good.
And what we had done is, as he had given his answers, we had typed those up. So he was reading his own words.
Mm-hmm.
But he was able to explain to the adults in the room why each of these six questions were important, why it was important to find the answers. So then, as the team made the presentation, questions came up from the parents, from the principal, and they answered them. And one thing that they pointed out said, well, first of all, this was a very small survey. We have 3,000 students, and we don't know if any of these parents and the student survey connected or not. You know, it was just students and parents surveyed. But even now, the one who was the lead was saying, look, most parents thought they gave the part of the survey where you gave a high score to doing well in math, asking questions in class. Most parents thought that that was doing okay. Look at the student answers.
Mm-hmm.
You're not sitting, he told them, you don't sit in class with us. And we are there and we're telling you that it's a little bit different, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And what was really interesting is the administrators and educators in the room validated the kids. They supported them. They got a standing ovation from the parents.
That's nice.
Now, I want to backtrack a little bit because our organization has been very interested in students being a technology bridge for families.
Right.
You know that historically the children of recent immigrants become the language bridge. They learn the language faster than the adults. And they're going to school, so they become the interpreters for their family. Mm-hmm. You know, when you have seasonal farm workers in South Texas going up north, a lot of times the kids are the ones that order the hamburgers and do all the other negotiating because their English is more fluent. Well, the language gap is also a technology gap now, and a lot of these families do not have computers at home, and if they do have them, the adults don't deal with the computers. So we've been working in South Texas and other places where the teenagers are the bridge for parents to get online and get information about their schools, to get educational information. Well, this is another example of that the students were a bridge to the technology because everything was done on a screen, online. They had a PowerPoint presentation. They were referring to online sources. And so the parents in the audience were understanding the information, and the kids were the bridge for that, and it's fabulous. And you know what's really great about this is it would have been a much better report if a math teacher had worked with them and worked with them over a month. I don't have a background in math. I know something, but hey, the last time I took it was a math class in high school. So I was there guiding them, and none of them were stars in math.
Right, right.
And they came out with a very interesting survey and explanation. It was like a very sophisticated report.
I'm impressed about the fact that they were taking questions, and so the adults in the room were seeing them as the experts and asking good questions and engaging in dialogue with them about that. I mean, that's a new way to see students.
Yeah, it was a very interesting way because, first of all, the parents in the room asking those questions, I think somebody less knowledgeable of that community think, those parents don't care, or they won't know what to say. Because the parents were asking very interesting questions. And the students, once the conversation opened up, even the shy ones were talking. They all would jump in, and they were interrupting each other, saying, well, we think this, that, and the other. And you know, you saw this team of students. And by the way, they weren't a team when they got together. I made them into
right,
a team.
Right.
A couple of they knew each other, but, you know, this is a high school with 3,000 kids, you know.
Right.
And so they worked it out, but when they presented and they completed their presentation, they stood up and they got a standing ovation. They were a team, and there was clear respect by the parents given to the students, but it also had been a dialogue, and it's a dialogue that all schools have to have where parents, students, and educators are talking about, well, what does it take to succeed in math? We should have that in science and in language arts and in all important content. I think all content areas are important, but it illustrates the new paradigm in parent engagement and that it can be done. And what I like about this is people that work in parent involvement at high schools despair about getting parents engaged in things other than band boosters or the football team boosters or some special subgroup. Because you'll get parents to raise thousands of dollars so that the choir can go to Germany. But to have a group of parents in a meeting have a conversation like this and where the students are the lead, that's really,
It is unique.
You know, I'm hoping, for example, that those campuses that have parent-teacher-student associations, because, you know, PTA has PTSA, but a lot of times the student presence is more a pro forma presence.
Right,
you know, it's that they see this is a real parent-teacher-student engagement. And I think that that's unique. And on top of that, we had to do it bilingually because half of the audience did not speak English.
You know, and that didn't slow it down. I mean,
not
that
at all.
It was more dynamic.
Not at all.
That way.
Not in that community because they're used to about going back and forth. Part of the conversation went into just test preparation and test wiseness. But the big message was from the students, we need to talk with you more about what we're experiencing. And educators need to see the student's point of view. You know, what's it like to be a student sitting in a class? In one case, there's 35 kids in one algebra class. You know, it's a budget problem. The school doesn't have enough money to hire enough teachers. They're hoping to reduce class size because that does make a difference. They're also rethinking, if we are going to provide supplemental education services after school, what's really going to help the kids? You know, what is really going to help them?
And so how did the teachers hear this? Did they hear it as criticism of them or, you know, how was their listening?
The teachers in the room were very, very open to what was going on. What we're hoping to to have, and we're planning for the rest of the spring and the summer, is to have more open dialogue where mm-hmm. teachers can talk. Well, this is what it's like for me mm-hmm. in the classroom, mm-hmm. because teachers obviously need support. One major area, obviously, in the teaching of high school math is how do we shift to have student-centered lessons mm-hmm. that are still rigorous, mm-hmm. that help open up the variety of ways that we can master math, because as an organization, you know that for quite a few years now, we've been championing math for all,
right.
higher
right.
math for all, and it can be done, mm-hmm. but that means there's going to have to be a shift in terms of, number one, how high school math departments view who can learn math.
Exactly.
And then change how they teach it so that, in fact, it'll happen.
Because clearly the way it's going now is not working.
Right. One survey respondent said that the lady talked to a teacher, and the high school math teacher told her, in Spanish, no, ma'am, no more than 10% of the population of any high school, and certainly this one, could ever handle mm-hmm. higher math. Mm-hmm. She was talking about calculus and mm-hmm. all that other stuff. Mm-hmm. And if you already have that point of view, it's going to be a self-fulfilling prophecy.
That's right.
And granted, it's a very hard task to teach. I know. I've been a high school teacher. Mm-hmm. But for the populations we're most concerned about, the economic success of this country and of this state requires that we figure out how we can make math for all a reality. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, there was a study released quite a few years ago, from a national security part of our government, mm-hmm. and I'm sorry, I'll have to find the link to let y'all have that, but because I don't remember what agency released it, but they were identifying security risks to the country. Mm-hmm. One of those was math education.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's impressive. Yeah.
It's not only a risk. The major jobs we're shipping overseas have to do with mm-hmm. areas that we don't have the professionals
That's right.
in.
That's right.
We're either shipping professionals from other countries in, and I have no problems with people coming into this country, but our public school system needs to do a much better job in producing high school students mm-hmm. that have a real choice in going to college and aren't in those remedial classes for no credit in community colleges that they drop out
of. That's right. So how did the students react to being heard?
Let me just give you the scene right before the meeting started. Parents were kind of sluggish coming in, so one said, "Sir, are we going to cancel it?" I said, "No." I said, "If we only have three people in the room, we're going to make the presentation." And I said, and one of those is the principal, and he blanched, you know, he turned white. But then one of them said, "Sir, it's getting late. I need a ride home," and all that. Once the report started, they forgot about all that.
Okay.
And then the vice principal is in charge of taking them all home because they needed a ride home.
Uh-huh.
They missed the late school bus. Mm-hmm. Couldn't get them out of the room because they were so engaged in the conversation. Yeah. They beamed. They were just smiling. They were just ear-to-ear smiles. And we didn't have a camera in the room. I couldn't mm-hmm. find one. Mm-hmm. I think one little boy had a cell phone. He took a picture. One freshman that wasn't there with his parents. But they were walking on clouds.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Two of them are the ones that are always in school suspension. The principal knows them very well.
Yes.
And he reminded them because they're always in trouble.
Yeah.
But they were a team. And they were just like, it was worth it, because close to the afternoon, we were at each other's throats.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not a very patient man when under pressure, and I wasn't using my best high school teacher skills at that point. And they weren't used to being pushed to be under this kind of pressure to do a rigorous report, a math statistical report,
mm-hmm.
to an unknown audience, you know.
And it had meaning to them. I mean, there was importance to it.
They could explain everything in it. They could mm-hmm. explain everything in the report, and they had explanations. They mm-hmm. said they couldn't point to exact cause and effect. They say, maybe this is happening because of this.
Right. What a gift to be able to use math skills, though, in mm-hmm. such a way. I mean, that's, you know.
I wish that the whole math department had been watching us from beginning to end, because mm-hmm. a non-math teacher working with a random group of kids, most that are not getting good grades in mm-hmm. math, mm-hmm. put together a very creditable report. Obviously, it needs some editing and other things could have done with it, but it was wonderful. It mm-hmm. still is, mm-hmm. you know.
So what's happened since then? I know this was just a few weeks ago.
Yeah, the plan
is,
in May, that's next month, mm-hmm. there's going to be a further conversation among parents, students, and teachers about the teaching and learning of math.
Okay.
And the basis of that conversation is going to be a further conversation about this report.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's great. Well, thank you very much for this. This is exciting. We're going to post online the survey that the students used and some articles about this. And we appreciate your thoughts and comments. Take care.
Thank you for listening to IDRA Class Notes. For more information on IDRA and other Class Notes topics, go to www.idra.org. You can also send us your thoughts by email to podcast@idra.org or fill out the form on our podcast webpage at www.idra.org/podcasts.